Minnesota Vikings football fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast, Purple People Eaters Edition. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. We got a lot to talk about on the podcast today. Obviously, the Vikings win a shootout over the Detroit Lions, 42-30. Kirk Cousins keeps this three-game stretch going where he's just been on fire, to say the least. You had cooking it up, Cookie, like the one-eyed bandit, the one-eyed Jack, Mike Zimmer, Cookie. That's what he calls him. Cookie just broke him down slowly but surely. You had an Irv Smith sighting. Actually, I'm talking about sighting. You had a Kyle Rudolph welcome to the 2019 regular season sighting as well. Obviously, Thielen going down with the hamstring after a great catch. Great pass too, but what a great catch. So there is some issues there. Hamstring with a skilled player always spells trouble. It's not as bad as, you know, as it may have looked or whatever. I shouldn't say look, because he just was out of the game. He wasn't like crazy limping or whatever, but as far as the MRI, it does look on the positive side. So there's a variety of stuff that we're going to talk about on the podcast today. We're going to recap the defense on offense. Obviously, defense had some struggles, no doubt about it. A lot of dumb penalties, a lot of the same themes, you know, with the defense, whether great, good or bad, or just downright ugly remain. So we're going to break it down. Like I said, there's a variety of things to talk about. Now we're on a short week as well, which that's why I feel like Thielen won't play, just because. I mean, why? Why not? You know, you're going to get right to that bye week. You know, if they can get this W, knock on wood, over, you know, a woeful Washington team, hopefully they can get that W and Thielen can rest. And that would be a perfect time, you know, for some downtime. But, and actually, if you look beyond that, which we won't, let's just stop right there. But I was going to talk about, you know, Mahomes and the possibility that we'd play, you know, Kansas City without him, but I'm sure he'll be back just in time. But yeah, like I said, we're going to preview that Washington game a little bit. It's just Thursday, so they definitely still got to get this W over a bad team at home. And, you know, we figure there is a percentage of you that are Minnesota Vikings fans, football fans. There's a percentage of you, and by the way, it's probably growing by the day, by the podcast, that pay attention to the Minnesota Gopher football program. So at the back end of it, when all the Viking talk is done, we will talk our Minnesota Gophers. And I got about 23 stats on the Gophers that are going to just make you smile and also laugh, because some shit hasn't happened since 1942 or something like that. So we'll talk the Gophers' big win over the Rutgers. Not big, but just the dominant, I should say. And then a possible trap game, just as Wisconsin, trap game against Maryland. So we'll definitely get into it in just a moment. If this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, of course, Purple People Eaters Edition, where we talk Vikings. It is available at blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. It'll stream live there at archives. It's basically the headquarters. So you can find this Living in Loserville podcast under the Ropeadope Radio podcast everywhere. Not just at Blog Talk, at Apple Podcast, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, all across the board, including the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, and that can be found everywhere, including iHeartRadio. In fact, if you use Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn, you can find the Living in Loserville podcast under Ropeadope Radio or, like I said, the Grueling Truth. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu. That's betnow.eu. Promo code TGT, that's promo code TGT, as in the Grueling Truth. So thegruelingtruth.net, it's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And before we start talking our Vikings, one real quick note here. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you already have and you're not happy, you know, the sports season is in full swing, basketball's about to start, you probably need some form of cable. Even if it's just a limited package, I got something here for you. AT&T TV Now, it's a streaming cable They have a 7-day free trial. However, the plans start as low as $50. That's HBO included. You can stream it everywhere. They have the cloud DVR. Like I said, 7-day free trial. Try AT&T TV now. It's cable streaming. I do it myself, so I'm not just plugging it randomly. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron, and just check the temperature. Not outside, because it is getting a little bit, you know, chillier. But, hey, it's not even mid-October. It's well into October. The leaves are turning. They're also falling. How the hell are you, dude? I mean, we're calling this the Living in Loserville podcast for obvious reasons. We know why. But, man, what a great week for Minnesota football this last week, man.
Yeah, it's really getting difficult to keep calling it that. But, you know, I guess I could give you a sobering stat that I picked up today. As far as Loserville is concerned, of playoff record in the last decade. Now, I didn't think it was as bad as, the stat will tell you. The Wild, we owe most of this to the Minnesota Wild and a couple of series wins. But so the stat is we're 16-44 in the last decade of all playoff games. That's sobering. You know, you just can't get over that. And I just thought that stuck out in my head and I just couldn't get over that. I was like, wow. 44 games you had a chance to win. You win 16. And like I said, six of those, or maybe even eight of those, are from one squad. So that's just a little bit illuminating of what Loserville's all about. But yeah, it's weather's dropping. It's late fall now. Kind of waiting for the snow to come in, but that's not anticipation. That's just kind of dread. But yeah, so a strange game in Detroit. It's another strange game in Detroit. You know, they're always strange there. It was a good outcome, but yeah, I didn't see offensive explosion from both sides coming in, but that's what we got.
Yeah, and it just going off that Loserville, the Twins and the Yankees. I mean, that's just enough to do it right there. 16 in a row, the Twins have lost 13 of them. 13 of them come by the hands of the Yankees, dude. Oh, my God. But anyway, like you said, this one from the jump street was just back and forth. And even though they both, you know, both teams didn't score on their opening drive, it didn't take much longer, you know, to score. Xavier on the second drive had a pass interference. We had a bunch of those pass interferences just in general. They went up 7-0 off of Jones, who had himself a hell of a day. Four touchdowns included. But Trey Waynes missed a tackle from what, about 8-9 yards out? Missed the tackle. That was his guy. You know, it's one thing to give up the catch. No big deal. You're going to give up catches, especially to pretty good wide receivers or great wide receivers. Obviously, Jones isn't a great wide receiver. He had a great day, though, that's for sure. Like I said, four touchdowns. But, you know, two key cornerback mistakes there, and it's 7-0, you know. Luckily, though, you know, our offense showed up as well early. And that's one thing we talked about with Kirk Cousins. Can he win in a shootout where we're actually down at times in the scoreboard? We've seen him with the Packers, although, you know, if Carlson just did one of the three things that he did wrong right, we would have won that game. But the Rams game last year, too, we had some shootouts that we, you know, we ended up on the wrong end. That was not the case. But Cook early on in late, especially second half, just wearing them down. But he broke a tackle, spin for a first down. You had Irv Smith make a couple of catches, nice catch and run. And then that beautiful play-action pass to Thielen right at the edge of the end zone. Thielen made a great catch as well, put it right where it needed to be. Unfortunately, he got hurt on that play. But, you know, it is what it is. It was going to happen. We also knew in 147 games, Stafford is the youngest, to hit 40,000. A lot of people think he's kind of like Cousins, where it's empty stats. But, you know, another long drive. And then Jones caught a touchdown on Rhodes. And Rhodes, it's funny because I've never seen Rhodes give up two touchdowns in one game, and you could tell he was frustrated. but he only got targeted three times. So he did his job in a lot of ways. But on both touchdowns, especially the second one, he was right there. He went to swipe, and he missed the swipe. He usually breaks that up. Whereas I thought the first pass was just a great catch and pass. The pass was right where it needed to be. It's very tough to defend. So when it's like a bang-bang play, yeah, it was for a touchdown. And we generally – well, we'd never seen him give up two in a game. But right now the roads are not closed. It's a detour. The roads are under construction, okay? It's a detour. It's not closed with roads just yet. But like I said, a lot of people saying, oh, do you see him give up those touchdowns? Okay, but let's see where he was. Was he close to the guy? Did he get burnt? Like, those two touchdowns are very tough as a cornerback, but we never see Rhodes give up two in one game, especially the second one. Like I said, he was in position and he swiped his hand. He just missed the ball. He should have actually got that one. But you know, either way, they're up 14-7. Then you had a great pass and catch to Diggs. Johnson got in on it as well, the seventh rounder rookie. It's 14-14. He got his first career touchdown. Ham got his first career touchdown later. And on that drive, it was back-to-back PIs, the pass interference on Detroit. So that helped out that drive a lot. You started to see Cook with the chunk runs. Like I said, Rudolph got in there. Like, what are you doing, Rudolph? We got up 21-14. I didn't like how, though, the defense, you know, kept giving up these long drives. And we came in knowing that we had the better defense on paper and talent-wise, clearly. But once we got into the game, it wasn't like that at all. It was a little troublesome to let the Lions score with 2 seconds left. And a lot of dumb penalties. Now, some of them are poorly called, sure. And some of the hands to the face, to me, in the NFL, should really rely on intent. What are you intending to do? Because sometimes I see someone swiping for the ball, and they just graze with their thumb the helmet. And God forbid the face mask, you know? But then an offensive player can, like, use a stiff arm right to the guard. You know what I mean? It's kind of weird. But either way, though, so I understand there was some bad penalties, and there has been bad call. But honestly, so many times later in the game, Griff got a sack, and then he was offsides. Now, it didn't cost us in that, you know, example. But to me, the defense, some of these penalties are just like, dude, you're just – this is just easy stuff. You shouldn't do that. So it's 21-21. A little long-winded here. Sorry, Aaron. But 21-21, how were you thinking? We always kind of like to know what we're both kind of thinking about it at half. Where were we thinking? You know, it's 21-21. Like I said, the defense not playing up to par. Too many long drives. And even some of these victories that we've had, way too many long drives. What were you thinking at halftime sitting at 21-21, man, in this shootout that turned out to be just that?
I was expecting more of the same. I was expecting a shootout. I didn't know. You know, it seems like Detroit was doing some things like isolating linebackers and doing things to get guys open that I hadn't seen them do before and kind of exploiting our weaknesses. But they sort of started losing guys, like injury-wise, like their attrition was just ridiculous. They just kept Detroit players down, injured, specifically defensive players. Their running back went down, and then one of their big defensive linemen went down, and it just seemed like that kind of loosen things up a little bit. So I think, you know, they had a drive there, I think, in the first half where it was just sort of tick-tack, 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 dunk, touchdown. I think that right. might have been the last one of the half, and I was like, okay, something's not working here on the defense. I don't know if we're trying to do too much or not trying to do enough. And Rhodes was an issue. It wasn't just, you know, getting scored on. Jones had a piece of everybody on that day. He got Waynes on the first touchdown. He got Hughes on a touchdown. He got two off of Rhodes. So, I mean, it wasn't so much that. It was the pass interference penalties, and he's got to keep his hands together. And I think he gets frustrated, but, you know, it wasn't his greatest game, and Jones is good. I know he played with Zimmer in Cincinnati, so I think, you know, I guess I give Rhodes a flyer on that one as long as he can kind of clean it up. But the penalties, I, You know, you get beat up for a touchdown, I can live with that, especially when you're in position most of the time. But those long penalties for stupid grabs or stupid pushes, you just can't have that. And Thielen, when he went down, I didn't know what he went down. I didn't know if it was a hand. It looked like it could have been his hand or his shoulder. I didn't see a hamstring come. It turns out after the MRI today, it was a hamstring. But I didn't see that. I thought maybe he busted his hand up a little bit on the wall or on the way down, because, you know, that's the second week in a row he's made a catch that he, you know, last week he made that catch where he hit his knee, and I thought, oh, man, that's going to be bad on his hip. So I don't know. But anyways, yeah, that was, you know, I was expecting to hold on for a ride in that second half, and it didn't turn out that way entirely. But, you know, it was still a little give and take coming through the second half. So, yeah, I was a little apprehensive. And you never really know what's going to happen in Detroit, and the officials were the officials. I didn't really have a problem with the calls because they kind of evened out. But you're right. You brought up the hands to the face calls. And I was like, that was an interesting call, because Griff wasn't trying to do anything. His hand just inadvertently ended up by the guy's face mask. So, yeah, it was an odd game, like I said, in Detroit. And you just don't you're not used to seeing teams score. Like, you know, we get 24 points, we think we're going to win the game if we give up 24 points, you know. I mean, we're way above that. And Cousins, man, he's like a different guy. I don't want to speak too early, but whatever bothered me about him before the last two games, you know, body language wise and poor decision making wise, or lack of decision making wise, he's been really steady. I've been really impressed with him the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and this is the games where we've had to pass first to run mostly. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because a lot of people had already buried him, you know, after that Chicago game and the Green Bay pass that we still are trying to, we'll never find out why he threw it. You know, they buried him. They buried him based off last season. They just buried him. And I remember, and this is credit to my co-host here, he said, you know, I got some things to say, but I'm gonna grit my teeth. I'm just gonna hang on and give him a couple more games to see if he can work out of this before I start to put any concrete, you know, statements down. And kudos to you, because you waited. And I also like how on the back end of this, you're like, well, hold on now. He's not a Super Bowl, you know, quarterback yet. He's not top five. Let's slow down. But you know, I like that, because a lot of people buried him, and we're going to get into him in just a moment. But back to the game, like I said, 21 apiece at half, come down and featured Cook and Irv Smith Jr. And Irv Smith Jr. is really starting to get it, man. 28-21, it was Ham's first touchdown. So we had Johnson and Ham getting their first career touchdowns. That was pretty cool. Late in the third, I think 3 minutes left, they did manage to get a field goal. So it was 28-24. And you could just see, like I mentioned, Cook wearing down the defense. And maybe it's a 3 yard, maybe it's a 9 yard. Maybe he spins, breaks a tackle, does some weird move that you never seen, and then gets 13 yards. He was just all over the place. It's a great drive going on, right? We're about to add another touchdown. It's 3rd and 3. And Cousins put the ball right where it needed to be. Now, it's a tough catch. It's over the shoulder. It's tough. The week before, remember that bomb he missed on an over the shoulder, and that was Cousins, not Diggs. But Diggs dropped what would have been a touchdown pass on 3rd and 3. And that one, that's where you look at it. And then, of course, this is where the living in Loserville stuff comes in, right, Aaron? Then what did we do? We compounded the problem by missing in a field goal. So you're like, okay, that's 7 points, 3 points. Oh my God, we missed the field goal too. And that was badly missed, dude. That was horribly missed. Like, it was way left. That was ridiculous, dude. But I'm thinking, okay, here we go.
Yep, sky was falling. That's what I was thinking. I was like, yep. You get that, you know, Diggs rarely drops something that hits him in the hands. I know it got hit in the face mask last week, but you know, a ball like that, that's where he makes his money. And that just, I don't know if he lost it in the lights or something. I'm going to give him that, but he didn't catch it. And I was like, all right, we get three. Bailey goes out and just shanks that ball. And I'm like, okay, this is what it is. And I started to get a little tight under the collar there, because I was thinking, if we don't get a little resolve and come out of that. I mean, that could be something that spiraled, but they didn't let that happen, and defense came out, played well, and on with the game.
Yeah, exactly. And we got back-to-back sacks. Griff scored a sack that I think it was 3rd and 23. Now, he did go off sides, but luckily that only made it, 3rd and 18. So we ended up, stopping him, on a turnover on downs on a 4th and 2, actually. So that was key. And like I said, in the second half, you did start to see the defense make plays here and there, just enough. And you had Cousins with a little off schedule to Irv Smith. And, we went right back down there, scored a touchdown, no problem. It was like, okay, well, that was fun. Now we're up, 35-24. Now they had another, long-ass drive that took only like 2:35. Yeah. So they got it to 35-30. But then I just love that we went right back down and scored. And you look at that time frame, and we've seen it time and time again. Oh, you scored too fast, or you didn't score when you were too conservative, almost like the prevent defense sometimes, right? That prevents you from winning. Sometimes you can get too conservative on offense, even though I love it at times, to go deep for 60-some-odd yards and actually to catch it, run, and then put two hands on it and just get tackled. That was like the perfect play. And hey, man, if you're going to put 8 or 9 in the box, you're going to cheat. We got to make you pay. And that was a great play and play call to close out the game. And obviously, I'll let you talk about Cook's touchdown run too.
Well, the look on Patricia's face after the bomb to Diggs, he was like, okay, we dared you to do it. You did it. All right, game over. And so, yeah, I mean, and I thought Diggs was going to lose that too, because he was, was holding it like a loaf of bread, and then he finally tucked it in at the end. I thought he maybe heard footsteps behind him, thank God, but I thought he was going to be showboating or something and lose the ball, but he didn't. So, yeah, that kind of iced the game up. And, yeah, I'm sorry, man. What was the second part of that?
Oh, Cook and his run. Yeah. That it doesn't seem like much, but it's a whole lot.
Right. Yeah. Well, So we're on the 3-4, something like that yard line. Some play off to the left. And there's just a cut that he made. Very few backs can make that cut. He's kind of fading out to that left side, saw a guy coming in and just instantaneous on a dime cut to go inside and score the touchdown. It was something to watch. Like, there's very few backs. I think Barry could have made that. I don't want to get, too hyperbolic about it, but right. Yeah, it was a very impressive move to get inside and score the touchdown. And he hit 2 on the day. Cook's another guy where you get the edge. He's so fast. Like, we were talking a little bit off air about just the speed. And, I thought he had power and I thought he had good vision, but pure raw speed, I didn't think he had. And he just proves that time and time again.
Yeah, he's 100% healed from that knock on wood injury that he had in his rookie year, man. And we got to buck 66. He was in the 140s, and it was just like he worked for every yard he got. No turnovers again, no sacks again. The offensive line played phenomenal. We had 19 passing first downs. They had 21, but they were playing from behind late. We had 10 rushing first downs. They had 1 rushing first down. 6 of 10 on third down. That's just phenomenal, dude. And when you start to look at it, and just going on Cousins in general, this dude has been on a run. And right when you think, okay, your confidence is, it's just something's going on with him. He's a wreck, this, that, and the other. And like I said, I give you credit because you didn't do the knee-jerk thing that so many people in the press, which turns into more people in the fan base. There's already going to be people in the fan base talking about it and ripping it. And some of these games, of course, you got to rip them. I'm still trying to figure out 2 things. What was he doing with that pass in Green Bay and that other flick, the fake flick? I was going to flick it, but I fumbled it against the Bears. It was just ridiculous. But if you look at the last 3 weeks, dude, he's almost put up 1,000 yards, 976, 10 touchdowns, one interception, and that interception, as we know, bounced off, you know, Diggs's helmet. Just more on Cousins, 4 touchdown passes in back-to-back weeks, consecutive weeks. Hasn't happened since Culpepper in 2004. We know he was putting up some crazy numbers back then, but 306, 333, and 337. He's number one in passer rating. No one's ever actually, this is kind of weird stat-wise stuff, but Cousins is the first player in the NFL history to pass for 300 yards and have a 130 QB rating, you know, which can be seen as a whole bunch of other stuff. But the bottom line is, as long as we don't have to play the Bears, we're going to put it to you. Like, we've been winning these games, and some of them by double digits, clearly. In fact, after 7 games, we have a 69-point differential. Only 5 teams through the first 6 games have had that in Vikings history. 98, 76, 75, 70, and 69. Now, I'm not trying to get you too excited. We got to calm down. You know, Diggs and Cousins have just been locked and loaded. I mean, he had 8 targets, Aaron. He caught 7 balls on 8 targets for a 142. That is something really, really special. But you look at Cousins, leads the NFL in yards per pass with 9.1, leads in passer rating, 5th in touchdown passes. And remember, that's with those first couple games. The first game, he threw 10 balls. You know, a lot of people thought, oh, only in the losses or in the wins. And well, hold on, dude. It's been a couple horrible passes against Green Bay in the Chicago game. We can't fault him for anything for throwing 10 passes in the first game. But, he's even up there, like I said, in touchdown passes, which we thought, no way, he's 4th in completions. The guy's just performing. And, you know, we'll put the brakes on it. We're not playing great teams by any stretch. And, you know, we're about to have a night game, and we know his night game stats. You know, and when you look at a quarterback and stats, you got to be careful. Because how many times was he favorite with that Redskins team in a night game? If you're playing a night game, you're generally, and I say generally, because we're not playing a good team, you know, Thursday night games, you know, they kind of suck a lot. But if you're playing Sunday night, especially Sunday night or Monday night, you're generally playing a good to great team too. So you got to keep that in reference. But we're going to find out more about Cousins down the stretch, because if you look at it, at Dallas, November 10th, that's an 8:20 game, right? That's a later game. At Seattle, Monday night football game. We have a Sunday night football game against, the Chargers. So we have Green Bay to close our second game to close the season at home, but that's a night game. So the primetime games against top level, that stuff's still coming, okay? So I wasn't ready to say let's trade him. But I also am not ready to say, yeah, dude, he's a top 4 quarterback. He's finally made it into that, you know. But long story short, it's just good that he's got his groove back, and him and Diggs. We've managed to – the pass-run ratio is right where we want it, long story short.
Yeah, kind of leading right into what I wanted to talk about. You know, if it takes a bomb game like Chicago to get Kirk to play like this, I'm glad that it happened. And, you know, I'm on Kirk's bandwagon, but, you know, I still, like you brought up, I still have a couple questions. One being night and primetime games, and the other being just big spots. Now, he would have wiped out the big spot question last year had he come back and beat the Rams. I thought he played really, really well in a night game in L.A., went, you know, toe-to-toe with those guys, ended up on the short end of the stick. His defense gave up some stuff. But, I mean, that's going to happen. You know, and just big spots. I don't remember watching a game come down to, all right, we need this throw right now, and Kirk making that throw. I don't remember that. Did anything come to your mind at all in a spot like that? I just, you know, for me to get totally on board, I'm going to need those two questions answered. And, you know, I'm not asking for every time. Nobody can do every time, but, you know, 2 out of 3, maybe a comeback win here and there, something like that. Now, he's got a lot of parts around him, and I think maybe that's something he's fallen back on, is saying, okay, you know, I don't got to do it myself. All I got to do is get these guys the ball, and they'll make something happen. You got Diggs, you got Thielen, you got Cook. Now you got Irv Smith, like to see him get a touchdown. You got Rudolph. I mean, you got all kinds of things. Your line's playing a lot better. So I think really the team's sort of ramping up. We're in week, what, six here, going into week seven, starting to hit that middle, that high middle part of the season. And it's when things should start coming together. And it really looks like they are, particularly, like you said, the offensive line. They've given up no sacks. Now, Detroit didn't have their full complement for the whole for the entirety of the game. But, you know, they still rush the passer. They got good guys. Everybody's good in the NFL. So the line played really, really well. And Kirk's just keep doing what he's doing. I really like what he does on rollouts where he kind of plants and he just chucks. And I like to see the ball go. You know, he just seems – everything seems a little bit more confident, a little bit more with purpose, and a little bit more competitive, I guess, is a way to put it, not just kind of like out there going through the paces, but actually has put himself into the game. I don't know what brought him that team meeting, something. I don't know, but it's really good to see. And I'm really – I want to see him play well against the Redskins, and then I want to see him get tested and maybe answer some of those questions I have about him.
And I think that's fair. And – you know, another thing he's done in all seven games is done a couple of plays off schedule. And that's something that we've asked for him to do. And he hadn't been able to do it for us anyway, as far as Vikings last year. This year he's doing it. It's getting lost in either he's horrible or look at him now, he's awesome. I noticed that the Vikings group, Facebook groups, you know, have been mighty quiet these last 3 weeks randomly about when, you know, talking about Cousins. But I really think it comes down to the offensive line. This stuff is not rocket science, you know. When you give him a little time, and he proved last year that, remember, we talked about this over and over again, that he was getting hit while releasing the ball and completing it. And then at some point, that wasn't the case anymore because he was getting hit too much. So therefore, it was like footsteps like, oh, is he coming? Is that Jason? No, it's Freddie. You know, he's freaked out. He's just freaked out. And that happened. He started really looking like a very mediocre quarterback down the stretch last year. But a lot of that had to do with the run game. I remember going into that Chicago game. Okay. So we know Cousins isn't going to win the game all by himself. There's other stuff at play, right? So are we going to get cooked to 30 and 40 yards, or are we going to get cooked to 70 yards? You know what I mean? So it all has to be in play. And we've mentioned it, that bread and butter of the play action, and they have to pay attention to the play action, just period, point blank. And when they do, that's his comfort zone. Like you said, the rollout, and just step into it and just rip, dude. I mean, he's got a great arm, dude. Out of quarterbacks for the Vikings, this guy has dropped some absolute dimes, considering he's only been here for almost a year and a half. Let's segue into the Washington game. Thielen said, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm optimistic. They're going to shut him down. They're going to shut him down, as they should, right? Why wouldn't you? You should shut him down. I don't think there's really any reason. Why not get to the bye? You know, why not just get to the bye? We don't need – or wait. Am I wrong with that? Is the bye
– look.
I'm wrong. I think I'm wrong, dude.
No, you're close. I don't know if you're wrong.
No, I'm wrong.
All right.
Yeah, because we play the Chiefs next week.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, the bye is later. Just on a quick
point, you know, it's fun to see the national media like turn on a dime. You know, they went from $84 million guaranteed contract loser to possible MVP candidate within a week's time. So I mean, you got to kind of take everything with a grain of salt when you're listening to the talking heads. They don't really put a lot of thought into it. They just want clickbait.
Yeah, I was all caught up on the Gophers in Penn State and all this bye. They got a win, then a bye, and then they can go into that game. And that's what it was. The bye's not till later. And I actually love where it is. What it is the halfway point of eight games. That's what it is. So it's still a way to close this out and have a couple extra games for a Chiefs team that I'm just going to think Mahomes is going to play then. But that actually gives them less time, right? Instead of having a bye in there before we played them. Green Bay's going to play without them. But Yeah, that I was all mixed up. But to be 6-2, knock on wood, to be 6-2 at the halfway mark would be wonderful. No one shoulda, coulda, woulda. We should be 7-1. The Bears are going to beat us. I don't care. We mentioned this both. I don't care how close the score was. They're kicking our ass. We weren't going to win that game. Whereas we know what happened that Green Bay game, especially getting down 21-0. We should have won that game. But, you know, that's in the past. Obviously not that far in the past because I'm still saying shoulda, coulda, woulda. But that's just excuses is basically what it comes down to. And a really bad Redskins team comes into town. We think we're going to say Case Keenum, but we don't know for fact. They've put up 40-some-odd points in the last, like, four games, dude. It is really, really bad for them offensively. Is this a trap game for the Vikings? Over under 42. We're a 16-point favorite. Right now, Aaron, they're averaging 13 points per game on offense in the NFL. They don't even rush for 100 yards, whereas we rush a buck 60. They can't pass that well, only 200 yards. They give up a fair amount on the run, 134. That's a lot. And they give up a, you know, it's funny. We give up more passing. I guess some of these stats, especially halfway through, can be, well, what quarterback did you go after? Yada, yada, yada. But, you know, they have a win on the season. It's on the road at Miami. It was actually this month. They've gotten blown out a fair amount of times. They actually lost their last game. They don't have a bye. 9-0. They're a bad team. Now, can Case Keenum come in and duck down and get loose and throw up some prayer and hope Thielen will come down with it? Oh, wait, he's on the wrong team for Thielen to come down with it. But there's still some things he can do. Now, questionable, Adrian Peterson is questionable. Josh Norman, who's probably not as good as corner as he was a couple years ago, but still pretty damn good, he's out. So they have some guys out, no doubt about it. We think that we got a guy out too, obviously, a key guy in Thielen. You do have Xavier Rhodes and Lindell Joseph that are questionable, but we feel like they're going to play. What says you about this? Are we going to, you know, to me, it really, I want to see what the first quarter brings. Are we going to come out like on a short week and without traveling on the short week? That helps. That actually helps a lot. If you look at the short week in the NFL, dude, because they play that Sunday game too instead of Saturday like college, it is one ugly football because dudes are just starting to be not numb. You know, like, hey, I can feel my body again. Okay, cool. Oh, we got a game? Shit, I'm not ready for a game. You know, it's been bad for NFL. The players just hate this game. But at least we don't have to travel. And be at home. I just feel like we're going to find out how this game goes in the first quarter and a half. You know what I mean? That's the way I look at this game coming into it. What says you, sir?
Well, I think you want to kind of get up fast so you can rest some of the guys that are a little nicked up. I mean, I think that would be the game plan. I don't think you're going to see Haskins. I just don't see it wise to put a rookie quarterback up against Zimmer's defense.
Yeah, you know, with all these savages on the edge. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, maybe you want to test him and see what he's got, but I think we'll see Keenum. And, you know, Keenum's good. He plays well in our building. At least he did when he played here. You know, he's kind of a slippery guy, so definitely Everson will run past him a couple times. He seems to do that every game. But he gets the guys a couple times, too. And Peterson will be back, so, you know, that'll be a nice little homecoming there. I don't know what kind of feelings are left for Adrian Peterson here, but, you know, he's a good player here. The Redskins are hard to call. I mean, we should win this game by a handful, but, you know, strange things happen, and you're right, Thursday's a short week, and, you know, you don't want to just put it in the bag. I mean, 16 points is a lot of points, but, you know, strange things happen in the NFL. I'm going to go ahead and give us the game. I just don't think offensively they have enough to deal with our defense, and offensively I just don't think they have enough to deal with our offense. So it just seems like we have the advantage in both spots, even with Thielen down. And now you tell me that Norman's out. There's a matchup there with Diggs. Get some of the young guys some time. Try to get up early, you know, 21 points. And then, you know, maybe you can take Linval out, get him some rest, and take some of those other guys out and get them some rest. So that would be what I think you want to do. Now, I don't want to give a game away. So, you know, obviously if they've got to play, they got to play. And you just don't think the Redskins are in a very good spot right now as a team. I just don't see them winning here. I'm going to go with a pretty big blowout and get ugly early. So I really think it's going to be like something around 42 to 14. You know, maybe give them 21. I think we'll score, not at will, but we'll score a lot. You just don't, you know, Cook, play action, all that stuff. You're down corners. You got issues anyway. New coach and all that coming into a hostile stadium on a Thursday night. I just don't give the Redskins much of a chance. But strange things happen in the NFL, so we'll leave that caveat open. So I'm going to go 42-14 Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take long to think of the Buffalo Bills game last year and said, what happened? We're down 14-0, and we've had one play on offense. You know, so things can happen. That's why I'm kind of looking at that first quarter and a half, seeing if they come out kind of lackadaisical, kind of looking into the future, thinking, okay, 6-2, dude, that'll be nice, 6-2. Yeah, we'll be 6-2. We'll see, though. We'll see. But I think they'll – end up winning. I think the Vegas is right. I think it'll be like, I'll call it 30-13. Our Minnesota Vikings. And I'm also, I love me some Adrian Peterson. The guy is a stud, but I wouldn't mind seeing a fumble out of him too. That'd be quite nice. Just because, you know, it's that fourth guy that's on him that'll rip the ball away when he's trying to go for a, well, wait, I already got the first down. Adrian run out of bounds. No, I must gain more yards. I'm chasing the history books. And then some dude strips it out at the very end. But, yeah, I'm going a healthy win, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to close this show down talking a whole lot of Minnesota Gopher football. You know, the Rutgers game, there's not a whole lot to talk about. I'll say this. Some of the early play by Morgan has me scratching my head a little bit. He was off on probably four balls, missed two touchdown passes. Luckily, the third one he got, missed a wide open Bateman, I think, at the first drive, which probably would have been a touchdown. So he started out a little shaky. He's had these moments. We've talked about this where he's been brilliant in so many ways, especially with a clean pocket. But, man, he does have that Cousins to him. And we talked about this last pod or maybe the one before, the episode before. But when he get – maybe it was off air. But when he gets hit while he's throwing it or he's about to throw it, it feels like Cousins a little bit. So one thing I'll say is as we get into this Maryland game, you know, we obviously know it's a trap game. Just ask Wisconsin with Illinois, you know, last week. But – the whole scooping scores, the whole pick sixes, that stuff can't happen the rest of the year. It just can't. And I brought up the misses for touchdowns because we were playing Rutgers. Now, we're not going to get two miss opportunities for touchdowns. And then on your third down, we're, you know, against Penn State or at Iowa or Wisconsin, we're going to get that opportunity again. You know what I mean? That's my only worry there. It was 14-0. So we started out a little rusty, I guess you could say. Now, Winfield had two picks, one for a pick six. It got ugly then all of a sudden, no doubt about it. We're up 14-0. We missed a field goal too. But then, like a team that we're not used to seeing, right, but we see it in college where then all of a sudden you get on a team and you just start to destroy them, and that's exactly what happened. Dude. We just ran away with it. You know, Tyler Johnson had a lot of people like, man, where is he in the first couple games? You know, well, he's getting covered by three guys. That's where he's at. He went for six for 130. Bateman made some nice snags, one for a touchdown, obviously. Overall, Morgan played pretty good, you know, just that early stuff. Smith had another 111 yards. We ran for 198. really not a whole lot to talk about, but maybe a little critical early of them, which I'm just wondering when it comes down to, you know, these last five games of the regular season. I'll let you kind of take over for a little bit because I have some stats that'll blow you away about our Gopher program, buddy.
You really did raise some good points about you. We got to, you know, this schedule tightens the fuck up, man. I mean, we get a little bit of an introduction here with Maryland, and then it's I'm not going to say murderer's row because you get Northwestern and Iowa, but they're no slouches either. Even Northwestern's having a, you know, not the greatest year, but, you know, they're still a good football team and beat you anytime. So, and Iowa's Iowa, and then you got Wisconsin in there throwing a tough game with Penn State. So Maryland's a good kind of ramp up game, but you want to win it too. And Maryland's always been hard for us to beat. They run the ball really well against us, always have. Always something quirky in a game. You know, we've beat them here under the Kill era a couple of times. So, you know, they're kind of a middle Big Ten team. They're building, but, you know, that's one of those things. It's a trap, man. I mean, if you're not focused, you're not locked in, it balls a program type of deal. You cannot give up turnovers anymore. You're right. During the season, you said that, and I said, that's kind of, you know, that's a saying a lot, but you're right. You just can't. Any turnover is a bad turnover. Now, they're all bad, but these ones will compound quickly, and you don't want the ball flying behind you, Morgan, when you get hit when you pass. That's no more scooping scores, no more pick sixes. We can't afford any of that going forward. So, yeah, you're right about a Rutgers game. Quick little recap on it. You know, it was what it was supposed to be. You know, and a Gopher team that did what they were supposed to do, which is a rare thing. There was not really any hiccups. You're right. They kind of came out slow offensively, but picked it up and then just ran them out of the stadium. So that's what's supposed to happen to a Rutgers team. I know they lost a quarterback that, oddly enough, was at IMG with Anixted. So now they're both out. And I think Anixted, you know, I don't know if he'll transfer. That's a question for a different day. But the Sitkowski kid that was at IMG with him, I think he's looking to redshirt and then transfer out of Rutgers. And he played fairly well the first couple of games that he played. So I was looking forward to maybe seeing him when we played him. But no, they went to another freshman who didn't play well at all. But, you know, he's a freshman. So that's how things go. You know, Morgan, 15 for 28, 245 and 2. I mean, that's 50% completion. You'll take it. You'd like a little bit more, but you'll take it. And so now we look forward, man, to this Maryland team coming into our place. Last time they ran us, yep, they just ran the ball down our throats. We couldn't stop them. Kind of led to the firing of the old coordinator. I feel like we'll tighten it up, but, I mean, we've got to tighten up a lot here coming up. We get a little break, like you said, bye before the Penn State game. So hopefully we can get through this Maryland game, get into the bye, and then get ready to play Penn State. But, yeah, we don't want to look forward past Maryland. You got to stay focused. You got to play tough. You got to win.
You can hear me knocking on wood here. Can you hear that? Because we really need this win, dude. I want to be 8-0 on a bye week so freaking bad, dude. Penn State has to play a Michigan State team where their offensive line is just hot garbage right now because of injuries. They should win that. Should is the key word there. To have it at TCF, you know, at the stadium, and ranked versus ranked, what could maybe even be two top 15 teams by the time we got there. We're 17. And if we win, not to say we'd go up, but the next week we don't play, so we're not going to probably go down. Man, that would be phenomenal, and it's huge in so many ways, and recruiting is one of them. And I'm really wondering what this season in general is going to do for recruiting, dude. I mean, this is phenomenal. Either way, like I said, I keep it all in perspective. I'm going to say all this stuff about stats and all that, and it's just really as a fun Gopher fan, Minnesota football fan. You know, a lot of bandwagon fans are going to be coming here under Fleck. But just listen to some of these stats, okay? And these stats are more to show how bad the Gophers have been in Loserville rather than dude, we're going to win the championship. You know what I mean? Like, we got to win the Big West first. We got to beat Maryland first, okay? But through seven games, scoring 28 points or more in all seven games for the Gopher program hasn't been done in 100 years. So, okay, something's going on. Okay, can you hear me now, Aaron? You're on mute. Did I mute
you? Yeah, I took off the mute. Yeah, you just sound like you're breaking up a little bit.
Okay, all right, cool. All right, well, maybe something just dropped real quick or whatever. Anyway, did you get my first stat? Or was that breaking up?
Yeah, just go ahead and repeat it.
Okay, so scoring 28 points at least, so 28 points plus in all seven games, it hasn't been done in 100 years for the Gophers. The last time in 13 games, they were in a stretch of 13 games, they were 11-2 in that time period. That's 48-49. Last week was 48-49, 8 games in a row, right? Now we have a 9-game winning streak. I think it's the 5th longest in FBS. We haven't had a 9-game winning streak since 1942, okay? We haven't been 4-0 in the Big Ten since 1967. We haven't won 5 straight Big Ten games since the 69-70 season. We haven't started 7-0 since 1960. And it's been about a decade now, give or take, that the Big West expanded to 14 and split into divisions, East and West. It's the first time that we've ever solely had control of the division. It's just, these stats are crazy, and I keep it in perspective, like I mentioned. You know, we haven't played an upper echelon team yet. We haven't. Will we get beat by Penn State? Probably. But it's just so many positives. And to see the improvement by some of the players that have been here, luckily, I think the defense is senior laden. Now, what will that mean next year? It will be a question mark, no doubt about it. That's where the recruiting and development comes in. But I think that's helped us. The defense has played better than I thought. The defensive line hasn't been as bad as it seemed. But we had a lot of tight games early. Now we're putting teams away. 17-point favorites now. It's up to 17 against Maryland. My thing is, you talked about this too. They have some speed and they run the ball. And if you make mistakes against a team that runs the ball well, they actually stat-wise run it 207 compared to our 188 per game. And we stop the run about the same. 122-ish, which 122 is different than the NFL because, you have programs that run 45 times a game, not just option programs either. I think they'll win, but I'm calling for Maryland to be under the 17-point spread, but with the Gophers winning the game.
And this has really worked out well. I just had a thought about, going into these last 5 games, if you can get by Maryland, or even if you want to use them, we can use some of these freshmen that we like, particularly defensive linemen, because you have 4 games left in the season, and they'll be able to keep their red shirt. I know there's a couple guys that are hiding down there on the defensive line, Rashad Cheney and another kid that they were high star recruits on the defensive line. And I'm just wondering if they're going to peek their head out for this game, or maybe the ones coming up, maybe save them for Penn State. Regardless of what happens against Maryland. But you're right, man. You got to stop the run on this one. If you can hold the run down, I think we got a really good chance to have a I'm not going to say easy win, but an easier win. The running game is the thing we got to just get a hold of. I think we can. Barber and Coughlin and those guys seem to be playing well. Kamal Martin says that he'll be back for this one. So, you want to stop the run. That's number one. Number two is turnovers. Don't turn the ball over. Don't give them anything easy, and make them earn every yard. If you can do that, you put yourself in a really good position. Then you go into that bye week and you play a tough Penn State team, man. And maybe we'll see some of these young kids coming up and recruiting, like you said. You know, you go 8-0 into a Penn State game, probably going to get bumped to a really good time slot, maybe even be on the big channels.
Yeah.
Playing for your program. And that's what you wanted to see here. And I know we're all Minnesotans. We're all a little apprehensive because, like you said, and those stats clearly pointed out, we just haven't seen this before. Yeah, our schedule is a little bit weak. But, sometimes that's how it rolls. I mean, that's how the computer spit it out. And so, next year is next year. But, the end of this year is going to be it, man. And if we get all hands on deck now with the last four games, get through this Maryland game, focus up, win it. I think that spread is outlandish. If anybody's ever watched Minnesota Maryland games, this is not a spread that you would want. Go to the bookies and bet against it. Do something because, I got it at about 28-21 Gophers. I just see it being defense and running the ball. Weather might be an issue. But I want to save the snow for Penn State, so I don't care if it's 70 degrees and sunny for Maryland. Whatever it is, get the win by 1 point, get the win by 2 points, I don't care. Get the win, go into the bye, self-scout, and get ready to play Penn State.
Well said, man. I have it 34-24 or something like that. Yeah, I think that's what I was thinking, 34-27. I think is what the number I was looking at. Yeah, I wrote that down. 34-27. So, yeah, I actually think it'll be under that for sure as well. So, anything else that you'd like to mention before we wrap this puppy on down, man?
No, man. Let's cross our fingers, knock on wood all week, get a win against Maryland, and we'll have a great show to talk about the Gophers next week.
Man, I mean, the bye week. Oh, that'd be so crucial, dude, to get there. There's so many good things to talk about. But anyway, that about does it for the Living in Loserville podcast, Purple People Eaters edition. Thank you for joining us as always. Enjoy the games. We'll be back next week. Peace. Go Vikes Thursday night. Get it done.